Nice. Isn't that great? Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, the whole chapter is a prayer from Jesus. He's praying to his heavenly Father. In the first part of the chapter, he prays for himself, what he's about to go through. The second part, he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for all believers in the last part of the chapter. And this morning, I want to look at the middle section of this chapter, starting with John 17, 13, and learn about what he prayed for his disciples. We've been looking at the last 5 weeks of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, which we all are if we claim to be Christians. We're disciples of Jesus, and this is his prayer for us. This is his prayer for all of us, and I'm going to read starting with John 17, 13 from the New International Version. We all there? All right. Jesus says to his Father, he says, "I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is that you take, not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it." And then Jesus says in verse 17, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." There's several things in this that I want to just break down a little bit as we look at what Jesus prayed for us. And the first thing that he prayed for us to have is this. It's the full measure of his joy, and it's regardless of life's circumstances. God wants to give us the full measure of his joy. In fact, the New American Standard Bible says, "My joy made full in them." So I believe that this is something that God is really wanting us to grasp this morning. Even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of what appears to be setbacks or what really are setbacks, you can have Jesus' joy made full in you. You can have that full measure of his joy. Remember, Jesus prayed this right before he was to be crucified, and he knew the very difficult things that his disciples would be facing, the horrible things they'd have to see to Christ himself, and the things they themselves would have to suffer. But in the midst of suffering, Jesus says that the full measure of his joy, the fullest, is available. Here's the key. The key is being connected to the vine. That's how we experience the full measure of Jesus' joy in us. It's that intimate contact with him. A couple weeks ago, I taught on the vine and the branches, and we looked at that we must stay connected to the vine at all times if we're to bear fruit. But in that scripture, in that passage in John 15, Jesus said this in John 15, 10 and 11. It's on the screen here. He says, it's the next one after this one, John 15. There we go. Jesus said, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." In other words, if we live in intimacy with Jesus, we obey his word and all that is in his word, his joy will be complete within us. The full measure of his joy. This almost seems like we all know this, but I want to tell you something. Christians sometimes appear to be the most miserable people on the face of the earth. There's no joy in their lives, you know. In fact, I'm the editor of this family values publication in Tucson called Good News Tucson, and we have a Living by Faith section. And the publisher of the magazine, this last issue, she was like, "Man, she's kind of teetering on whether or not she's fully on board with the Lord. She has all these doubts, and she was saying, man, the most depressing part of our magazine is Living by Faith section, because it seems like from her observation, she said, man, it seems like Christians are always struggling, and they don't have any joy, they don't have any peace, they don't have any comfort, and the truth is, we can have the full measure of the Lord's joy. Doesn't matter what we're facing, doesn't matter what the enemy is trying to do to us, we can have that joy made complete in him as we commit to staying connected to the vine. That's the key. We have to stay connected to God's word, to prayer, to living the life that God intends us for us to live, for him to impart that joy in us. You think so? Yeah? Y'all look pretty sad this morning. In May, many of you know who Stephen Curtis Chapman is. He's a professional Christian singer and recording artist. And it was the day that their older son was graduating from high school. Their 17-year-old son accidentally backed the SUV and killed their 5-year-old daughter. And that day, Stephen Curtis Chapman, he sang a song. And he said it was a scream, it was a prayer, but it was "Blessed Be Your Name." You know that song that says "Blessed Be Your Name"? It's based on Job. And there's one line that says, "You give and you take away." But he said he went through all these doubts after that, and he didn't know if he'd ever sing again. He thought he would just forget it, you know, and all the confusion. But in the end, he said this. He finally went and did a concert after much counseling and talks from a lot of his godly friends. In July 24th was his first time back. And he said to the audience, he said that he sung that song. He said it wasn't a song, it was a cry, a scream, a prayer. And he said to his audience, "I found an amazing comfort and peace that surpasses all understanding." How is that possible? You lose a child and yet God still imparts to you his peace and his comfort amidst the most horrible storm you can imagine. It's only one way. It's being connected to the vine. You know, as we remain connected to Jesus, we make it our passion to live by his ways and feed off of his word. It doesn't matter what life throws at you, you can find that peace and that comfort that Jesus has available to you. Not just a little bit of his joy, not just enough to get by, but Jesus promises us here in this prayer that he prays for us, they're going to receive the full measure of his joy. Do you want that? It's yours. He already prayed for it for you to receive it. You just got to take it. The second thing that I gleaned from this prayer this morning is Jesus prayed for our protection from Satan. He said in verse 15, let's put this verse up here. He says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world." See, Jesus needed his disciples. He needs us in this world to complete and carry out his mission. So he's not saying, "My prayer is that you take them out of this world," but that you protect them from the evil one. So here Jesus is referring to the protection from Satan and all of his evil forces that want to destroy our lives. We know that when Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the grave, he defeated Satan. And so we know that Satan's already been defeated, but we also know that Satan is still loose on this earth and he's still orchestrating his evil system against believers. Some of you are under attack even recently. You can just feel that Satan's trying to rob your joy and steal your peace. Right? John 10:10 says that Jesus comes to give you an abundant life, but the enemy comes to steal your joy, to steal, rob, and to kill, steal, and destroy. And he wants to do that to you. That's his plan. Jesus has a plan for you. So does Satan. It's to kill you, to destroy you, to utterly make your life chaos and miserable. That's his plan for you. We also know that Satan, look at 1 Peter 5:8. This is, tells you what, is it on there? I don't have that one. I don't know what I'm doing this morning. 1 Peter 5:8 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to devour. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to just bother you. He wants to devour you. And so he's after you. Not only does he want to destroy you and kill you and rob you from your joy and your peace, he also wants you to sin. You with me? Satan wants you to live in sin. He wants you to engage in sinful behavior and pattern so you remain defeated and you remain like you don't have any spiritual power at all. He wants you to be a sinner. Because if you're right with God, if you're connected to the vine, then you're going to have joy and peace. But remember, his mission is to rob that joy and to steal that peace. And he knows that if he can get us to dip into sin, we have no joy because we're going to be living a slave to bondage and sin. In April of 2004, the Arizona Game and Fish Department began nursing more than 30 banged-up pelicans that were completely dehydrated. Pelicans here in Arizona. They found these pelicans between Yuma and Phoenix. Like, what are they doing here? Well, these brown pelicans were injured when they descended from the sky. They sailed low over asphalt highways, stretched out their feet enough to make a perfect splash landing in water, and then tumbled over when they landed instead on the pavement. See, there was a shortage of food supply in California, and so these birds flew to Arizona looking for fish. And from the sky, the shimmering hot air above the black asphalt, it looked to the pelicans like water. So down they flew for a fish and a refreshing dip in the lake. Bam! What they found instead was pavement, dehydration, and near death. And thankfully to the Arizona Game and Fish Department, they rescued most of these birds. But as I read that news article, I was thinking, you know what? Satan does the exact same thing to us. He makes it look like it's a refreshing dip in a lake. He makes it look like this is, whoa! Okay. I need a new stage. It's coming. Okay. He makes sin look so enticing, like it's going to fill that void in our lives. That's what he does. He makes sin look like it's attractive. But you know what? We do it, and it's just like hitting that black asphalt. We get banged up. We get ripped up. And life becomes miserable for us because there's no joy in sin. We think there's going to be, but it just doesn't fill that void that only God can fill in our lives. But the good news is God is our protector, and he will protect us from the evil schemes of the devil. That's God's part, right? Jesus prayed for that for us. Protect them from the evil one. So that's God's part, but our part is to resist the devil, to not give in to his temptations, and not to let him work in our lives. We read 1 Peter 5:8, you know, your enemy roams around like a lion seeking to devour. Well, 1 Peter 5:9 says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So our job is to resist Satan and what he's trying to do in our lives. For some of you, maybe there is an area of sin that is so strong that what you really need is deliverance. And I want to encourage you to take that first step. The first step is simply today, after service, when we have our prayer teams, to just come up to, if Dick's up here praying, which he's going to be, Dick and Lynn, just say, you know what, there is an area of sin in my life that I need God to deliver me. God will do that. God will deliver you from sin. But the first step is just to own up to it and say, you know what, I need to be released from this. And so our come talk to me, come talk to, you know. Sometimes we feel like we have to go to a conference to be delivered. It's true. I mean, some conferences are great, and God moves, and, you know, I like being a part of that. But you don't have to go to a conference. You have to go to Jesus. And Jesus is available here. He's available in your own house. But I want to encourage you to find some accountability and someone that you could talk to and say, you know what, I need to be delivered from this sin area in my life. Jesus will do that. He already prayed for you regarding it, so for him, it's already done. So Jesus wants to give you the full measure of his joy. He's prayed for that. He's prayed that we would be protected from the evil one. The third thing is Jesus prayed we would be sanctified. Be sanctified. Sanctification means being set apart for holy use. It means to cleanse or purify, to make holy. That's what sanctification is. It's the process of being made holy. It's being conformed to the image of Christ for the sake of others. It's that whole sanctification process, that spiritual growth process that Jesus prayed that we would have, right? Jesus wants to be sanctified, to be set apart from the world and set apart for God, for his purposes. He wants us to be sanctified, to hate all that he hates, and to love all that he loves. And Jesus said in verse 17, he says to his Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So being sanctified, being set apart for God, being made holy, comes from the truth of God's word. The daily application of God's word has that purifying effect on our hearts and minds. That's why Ephesians says that to let God's word be the water that washes you, that makes you clean. That's how we become sanctified. It's through the truth of God's word. Because when you read the Bible with the notion of having it do something to your heart, right? As you read the Bible because you want to be made holy, you want to be sanctified, the Bible motivates us to confess our sin, to renew our relationship with Christ. It guides us back to that right path. Those of you that are in your word daily know what I'm talking about, that the word of God has that sanctifying effect on us. We're doing our journal, and, you know, and it's like, ooh, there's a behavior that I'm in, or there's an attitude that I have, or there's an action that's not godly. And Jesus wants to do that in our lives. He wants to sanctify us. He prayed for it. He prayed that we would be sanctified. I use this, I've talked about it the last few weeks, but I use what's called a life journal. And in it, there's a daily Bible reading plan, so I don't have to guess what. You know, before I had this, back in the old days, I wouldn't know what to read, so I'd go to John or something, you know, that I was kind of familiar with. Sometimes if I was anxious, I would open up Ezekiel or something. But I like this because it tells you, you know, what to read every single day. And if your kids are reading it, like our kids are, if other people are, like Randy called me this week and said, hey, in this you know, passage, we talked about it for 10 minutes, you know, it's kind of cool when a whole church is reading the same thing during the week, because we can have those spiritual conversations that are just pure rich, you know, they're really good. But what I do is I read that day's scripture, and from it I write down a scripture that the Lord has spoken to me on. And so that's my S. I do an acronym called SOAP. So I write a scripture, a verse that the Lord has really, you know, this is, and sometimes it's hard. There might be three or four things in different chapters that the Lord has, and I might have to sometimes write them all down. You know, it's like, oh, wow. But so I write down a scripture, what I observe from it, you know, what is truth from that scripture. Just, you know, I'm not looking at anything except what is God saying here. And then that's my O. My A is how it applies to my life. How does the scripture, you know, how can it make me conformed more to Christ as a result of me applying this to my life? And then I say a prayer at the, you know, as my fourth thing on that journal. I tell you, it has a wonderful, amazing effect on my life to help me keep my perspective straight, to help me keep living that straight and narrow path that God has called me to live. And I want to encourage this whole church to do it. It's a wonderful tool that God has given us to help sanctify us. It's not the only tool, and if you have another system, that's great. You know, that's fine. But I believe as we do this together, it's going to be one of those things where not only are we going to have spiritual conversations with brothers and sisters here at church, but God's going to search our hearts, and he's going to chip out those sinful areas that the enemy wants to keep on trying to press in into our lives. So Jesus prayed that we'd be sanctified. How are we sanctified? He said it's through the truth, and your word is truth. So we know that the truth of God's word, it has to be a daily part of our lives for us to be made holy. Jesus prayed we would have joy. He prayed we'd have protection from the enemy. He prayed that we would have holiness and be sanctified. And then Jesus prayed that we would share the message with the world. Number four is he sent us into the world with a message. In verse 19 he said, "For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified." So Jesus was made holy, so we could be made holy. Why? It's for the sake of the world. That's what sanctification is. It's being conformed to the image of Christ for the sake of others. And in verse 18, Jesus says, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." It's a call to evangelism, that the world would believe in Jesus and be saved. He says, "As God the Father sent me into this world, I'm sending them into the world." 19 says, "For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." He's talking about the message of the gospel. "That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you." And then Jesus said, "May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Jesus goes right back to his mission, the reason why he was sent into the world, to seek and to save the lost. And just as God sent Jesus into the world to seek and to save the lost, Jesus sends us to evangelize a lost world. That's what he prayed for you and me right before he gave his life for us. He prayed that we would carry on his mission. And he expected his disciples to lead others to believe in him and incorporate them into his church. But here's what's really cool. Here's something that it just opened up to me this week as I studied this. It's amazing. We can count on the power of Christ's prayer. This prayer that he prayed before he died, we can count on the power of this prayer as we testify to others. You know what I mean? Sometimes we're kind of fearful that, oh, I'm afraid to invite someone to church, or I'm afraid to talk about the joy that I have. We don't have to have that fear. Jesus already prayed for us. We don't have to do it in our own strength. We've got God's words and his strength in us to help us. No need to be fearful about it. I mean, isn't it kind of reassuring knowing that someone in the church is praying for you? It makes you feel good, doesn't it? My goodness, Jesus prayed for you. So you don't have to be afraid. Let me bring this all together. Jesus prayed that we would have joy, protection from Satan, sanctification and holiness, and that we would share the message of the gospel. The tragedy of this day is that so few Christians portray these four things in their lives. You hear what I'm saying? Have you noticed that? These four things that Jesus prayed for us that we'd have. So few believers today are actively portraying these qualities. So many Christians run around, they seem so miserable, no joy, you know. And rather than having that protection from the enemy, it's like there's a struggle with sin and there's no consistency in their lives. And not even a thought of sharing Christ with others, because that's just, you know, not even in our thinking. And I want to tell you, Jesus started this mission with 12 disciples. And by some standards, we would think this is pretty huge success. Started with 12, and there's millions and millions of believers in Christ. But the truth is, there are untold millions of people who are still lost. And I know many of them. And I think you do too. I mean, they live near us, they work with us, they're in school with us. And I believe God's invitation this morning is to be so connected to the vine through his word, through prayer, through his church, that these four things that he prayed for us become real and living in each one of us. we would have his joy, not just enough to get by, but we'd have the full measure of his joy. We would be protected from the schemes of the enemy as we resist him and stand firm in our faith. That we would just allow God's word to search our hearts. It's living and active. We would allow his word daily to search our hearts and allow God's word to sanctify us so we could tell the world that Jesus loves them and he wants a relationship with them. We are called to be light of the world, light in a dark world. But I think if some of us were honest, we would say that we have no trouble blending in to the world. In fact, we blend so well that no one can distinguish our actions, our attitudes, the way we speak, the way we talk, from those of non-Christians. But the good news is, Jesus prayed that we would have these things, and we can. That's what I love about Christianity. That's what I love about God. It's free will. God's not going to force anything on you, but it's available to us. His power is available. His strength is available. His might is available if we would just tap into it. So I want to close with this invitation to make Jesus' prayer for us our prayer for us too. I've got this on the screen up here. The first, remember Jesus prayed, he said, may they have the full measure of my joy within them. Well, we can personalize that and say, Lord, may I have the full measure of your joy within me. This might even be something kind of cool that we can cut out, put somewhere we can see. Make this a daily prayer for a little bit. Lord, I want the full measure of your joy. For protection, Lord, protect me from the evil one. Sanctification, Lord, sanctify me by the truth. Your word is truth. Pray that. You know, pray that before you read your word. Lord, sanctify me by your word today. Make me holy today as I read this portion of scripture. Okay, you've got a crazy day. Just open your Bible, find one verse. Lord, sanctify me by your word. Speak something, Lord, into me to get my attention. You know, I'm busy. I don't want to be so busy, Lord. I need to be still and know that you are God. Lord, sanctify me by your truth. And then evangelism. Lord, you have sent me into the world. Lord, I want to live out purpose, why you've sent me. Lord, I'm going to do this. Four things to pray. What do you think? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for sending your Son into this world, Lord, to save us, Lord, from our sins, Lord, to give us the hope of eternal life. Lord, so many times, Lord, I've lived like all there is this life on earth. All of us, Lord, we live like every situation, you know, it's so huge for us, Lord. And we forget to have that eternal perspective. We're just passing through here, Lord. 100 years on earth is nothing compared to eternity with you, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, as you help us today with a perspective change, Lord, you would help us realize, Lord, that these things that you've wanted for us, Lord, these things that you prayed for us, Lord, can become real and alive in us, Lord. Lord, I just pray that there's no condemnation here this morning at all, Lord. We know that you don't condemn us, Lord. The enemy condemns us. But I pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit conviction, Lord. If there's one of these four things, Lord, that we're missing in our lives, maybe it's all four. Maybe it's just two things, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, I just pray this morning, Lord, we would say yes to your prayer for joy, for protection from the enemy, your prayer for holiness, and your prayer for us to be the evangelist, Lord, that you've destined all of us to be, designed all of us to be, Lord. I pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
I can't see you, but I know you're there. I can't feel you. I will not fear, I will trust in you, and I will not be afraid. So when the battle is close at hand, know you're with me to help me stand. I will trust in you, and I will not be afraid. 'Cause I will not be afraid.